Now, you may recall from his previous visits that my guest today, Tony Fosgate, has chosen some pretty wild holiday destinations. And by writing a book of his experiences, he's hoping to persuade others to follow in his footsteps. It has to be said that whilst he describes himself as a nervous man, that unless you're single and in your 20s or 30s, the destinations he suggests might not be for you. So welcome back, Tony. And what are you going to talk about today?
Today I'm going to talk about my experience on the Cresta Run. You might not want to do this at home.
Well, you can't do it anywhere else. You can only do it at the Cresta Run. You can't do it anywhere else. So anyway, I assume you can't just turn up and get on board, can you? Or can you?
No. Well, first of all, I want to explain what the Cresta Run is. So if you've ever watched the Winter Olympics and you've seen something called the Bob Skeleton, which essentially is someone lying on their stomach on a tea tray and going down a nice run about 90 miles an hour, that's the sort of thing it is. And really, the Cresta Run is where the Bob Skeleton all started. So it's located at St Moritz in Switzerland, and it's operated by the St Moritz Tobogganing Club, which is a somewhat eccentric and idiosyncratic British upper crust institution. It's an amateur club, but throughout the history, they produced some of the best of riders of the Cresta Run and the Bob Skeleton, and some of them have won Olympic gold medals.
Well, those that have survived, at any rate.
Those that you think you get a medal for surviving, actually. When I say it's idiosyncratic, it is a bit. I would have to mention, for example, that it doesn't allow women to ride on the run.
Oh, right.
For completely spurious reasons. That they might come up with. I think it's probably misogyny at the end of the day, to be honest about it. So you've got to have a bloke. But the thing is that if you are a bloke, you can just turn up and have a go at it. When I went there, you paid them about 600 Swiss francs. And you turn up, they give you all the kit, and down you go. I mean, health and safety would have a field day about it and still would. It helps if you're like members of the club, you are a bit bonkers as well.
Were you scared? You must have been, surely. I'd have been terrified.
Honestly say, I was the most terrified I've ever been. And I certainly don't hope to be scared for that in my life again. I mean, it is genuinely dangerous. People have been injured, some quite badly, and some have lost their lives. When you turn up as a novice and you have your kind of prep or your original talk, you are treated to something that's called the deaf talk.
It's nice.
And then when you've had the deaf talk and they've told you how dangerous it is and what not to do, mostly, and the dangers of the run, then they produce a dummy, a skeleton. And this skeleton is a kind of a dummy with a paste up of all the injuries that any Cresta rider has ever had. And at that point, of course, you look at the exit and you think it's the time to leave.
And what about when you look down from the top when you're about to go down there? I mean, maybe I'll think about it tomorrow.
Well, yes, that's very much. Throughout the prep talk and everything else, I was literally thinking, do I want to stay here or is it actually time to go? But, you know, once you're in, it's very difficult to escape.
So how many people have actually been killed?
I think to date, since the Cresta Run began, and the original Cresta Run started in about 1884, so we're talking about 130, 35 years, something like that. Five people have died, but a number of people have been injured on the run.
Right, okay. Now, as you said, you get this talk beforehand. So what about the run itself?
So to tell you about the run, if you try and picture a nice run tumbling down a natural ravine, going down a mountain, you probably you got it right in your head. I mean, it falls about the equivalent of in height of about 50-story building. So you add about 10 twists and turns to it, negotiate. Experienced riders take about a minute to get down there. You're picking up speeds maybe 80, 90 miles an hour. You're outpacing the local train service, that's for sure. So you'll get to the village at the bottom of Celerina at the end of the run before they do. There are stories of people who have gone so fast that they have not been able to stop. They've actually flown off the Cresta Run and ended up in the car park at the bottom.
Grief! Damaging cars.
Taking out a van or two and a few pedestrians, most probably. Yes, absolutely.
Now, you actually came off the toboggan, didn't you?
I did. So one of the first bends going down the run is a tricky one, and a lot of people fly out at that bend. Now, it's not such a bad thing, because if you're doing it wrongly, then it acts as a kind of safety valve. If you haven't got the right line, the rider's line, then you're flipped out, so you don't damage yourself further down.
Right.
So when you fly off, there's lots of snow and straw on banked up on the side of the run, and you sort of dive into that, and it's quite a soft landing, actually. It's not too bad.
But then you got back on again. Did you have another go? That must take some nerve.
I did. But the odd thing is that when you turn up and you're in a group of people and you're all doing the same thing, it takes quite a lot of courage to say, well, actually, chaps, I think I've had enough now. I'm going to go. It takes more courage to do that than to go down a flipping run itself.
But there is an option. There is an option to bail out, isn't there?
You can bail out. Yes. What happens is,
but not once you're halfway down.
No. Pretty much got to keep going.
Yeah.
You can bail up. You actually get free runs at the ice. But if you don't want to continue, you just say scratch. Scratch is the magic word. You say that to the control tower, the guy in the control tower.
This is a telephone link or something.
Yes, you ring him up and say scratch. And that's it. And I must admit, I did choose that option after two runs, failures going down.
Get to the bottom?
No, I never got to the bottom. As anyone who buys the book will read, I never got to the bottom. It's a lesson. It tells you something about yourself. You might not want to always know that.
I was insane.
Yes, to begin with. But after two runs, I felt that was it, because it's like I've probably not got the same physical courage as a lot of people who do this. And so I went to the bar and I had a drink.
That seems a reasonable option.
And after that, it didn't seem so bad, I have to admit.
So why would anybody choose to do this? Come on.
That's a very good question, and one that I do try and address in the book, but never come to any answer. It's the same sort of question about any of these sort of adventure activities or adrenaline sports. And I think what it probably comes down to is that if the thrill of it outweighs your sense of dread or risk, you'll do it. If not, then it isn't worth it. I mean, one of the great riders of the Cresta Run, who broke all records on it in his career.
And a lot of bones.
a few bones as well.
Yeah.
Stopped riding, and he was asked why, and he said, well, scares me. And then went on to say that...
That seems reasonable.
And I kind of quote, when exhilaration, he said, is worth the fright, then do it. But when the exhilaration is not worth it, you must give it up. That is merely sensible, isn't it? And I think that is sensible. Not everyone will want to do this. Some people will. But in any case, go and watch. Go to Switzerland. It's a fantastic country to go to.
I have to tell you, if I was there and I was going to do this and I got to the top and I looked down, I think, no, thank you very much indeed.
Well, yes.
And I wouldn't have even attempted it. Well, look, thanks once again. I think you've earned the chance for another plug for your book. So called and where can we lay your hands on a copy?
So the book's called Satan's Guts, Sausage Boats and Ice Kisses, The Adventure Travel Notes of a Nervous Man. And it's not just about the Cresta Run. It's about, we've talked before about white water rafting and going to the North Pole. So it's my sort of three separate adventures I have, and a bit about the people and places. It's on Amazon at the moment. Paperback $8.99, Kindle version $2.99. So if you look under adventure travel or type in Satan's Gut, you should be able to find it, or bonkers even, probably.
Well, I said at the start of our outsets that I think this is a thoroughly good read, which is guaranteed to get you out of the safe. Whether it guarantees to get you to have a go at it is another matter. But there's a heck of a lot of humour in there. And who knows, it might encourage you to spread your wings and follow in Tony's footsteps. Wouldn't mean, though. But thanks again for taking time
out
to come in and tell us about your exploits. And I've got to ask you, have you got any more plans for any more daredevil holiday locations? And indeed, any more books?
Well, I mean, in terms of the books, I did leave an awful lot out of this book because there are other adventures I've had in Antarctica and diving with sharks off South Africa. I couldn't fit it all in. So who knows? There might be a sequel coming down the line.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thanks very much indeed again, Tony.